Returning this evening to the prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. We look together this morning at the first three verses under the title of Faith in the Valley of Dry Bones. We saw this morning Ezekiel's faith, a very humble faith, a very unquestioning faith. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. And that is our New Year's text. I encourage you to take and use those cards that are around. There are plenty of them, so don't worry about taking more than one if you want to. That is our New Year's text, and we considered it particularly this morning. Oh Lord God, you know. We saw three things this morning, beginning with very, that it was very dry, the bones were very dry, that the situation was so desperate and difficult. We saw how that is such a picture of our own circumstances in so many ways, personally, locally, nationally, across the world, very dry. And then we saw something very difficult. That was God's question to Ezekiel. Can these bones live? What a difficult question. And then we saw verity, that is truth, in Ezekiel's faithful answer, O Lord God, you know. Ezekiel, this great prophet to the people of Israel at the time of the exile in Babylon, as we saw this morning, a time of great desperation, a time of great distress. They were not only, we've mentioned this morning, but many of you weren't here, and I'm sure you may know this, they were not only exiled from the land in a foreign place in Babylon. They were not only hundreds of miles from home, but then, of course, news came after not very long of the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple. And Ezekiel, in this book, after judgment on Israel, the pronouncement of judgment, and judgment on the surrounding nations, comes to the final part of the book, and it is filled with gracious promises and prophecies of God's blessing and his help for his people. Oh Lord God, he says, you know. It's a vision. It's a valley of dry bones, not a particular place. It's clearly a vision that God shows to him to make the point so that he can make the proclamation, so that he can encourage the people. And I have this evening just three simple headings from the text in front of us, mainly from verses 4, 5 and 6. We were in 1 to 3 this morning. So this morning was faith in the valley of dry bones. This evening, very simply, hope in the valley of dry bones. All our hope. Where is it from? Where does our hope come from? It all comes from the Lord, who works all things amazingly, and even more amazingly, uses men and women to do it. Quite remarkable. Faith and hope in the valley of dry bones. What are these three things? Hear the word, you shall live, and you shall know. Look at verse 4. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Where is the hope? We saw Ezekiel's great faith. We understand that God can do anything. We see just how crazily difficult it seems and impossible. Yet, it can be done. And in the vision, it is done. And these piles of bleached, vulture-picked, dry bones become a standing army once again. This is the work of God. Hear the word of the Lord. Who is Ezekiel? Well, he's just a man. He's a prophet. He's a prophet of God. He's been called and set apart to that ministry. But he has to do something that seems quite ridiculous. Prophesy, preach, speak to the bones. Where's the hope in that? How can I speak to a pile of bones? That's what preaching is. No offense. That's what preaching is. That's what preaching the gospel is. And the more remarkable thing is that preaching the gospel is dry bones preaching to dry bones. I would preach as a dying man to dying men. Speak to the bones. Prophesy to them. And say to them, this is stupid. This is hopeless. Why do this? Why bother? What's the point? Oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Not the words of a man. Not the thoughts of a man's mind. In every situation, in every circumstance, there is an answer. There is a remedy. However lost someone may be in their sin, however far from God, however desperate their situation, however backward and degenerate a nation or a town or a community, however dead a church may be, whatever the circumstance, there is an answer. It is this: to the dry bones you say, hear the word of the Lord. And friends, there are those of us here tonight who preach the word of God. And that's a wonderful thing and a great privilege. Never deviate from it. Never say, here's my opinion. Always say, hear the word of the Lord. Why, what can a mere man say? A mere man can say what God has said. A mere man can proclaim the word of God. It's the word of the Lord that counts. This is where our hope is, in the living word of the living God. The power is not in the prophets or the preacher's proclamation or skill or ability with words or ability to plead with sinners or whatever it may be. The power is in the word of God by his Holy Spirit. Hear the word of the Lord. This is what he's just... And we get used to biblical, well-known biblical stories and accounts. But it is simply ludicrous that in this vision, Ezekiel is commanded to preach to a valley full of dry bones. Is pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe? And there are always people, and there will always be people, who will point out again and again, especially these days. A friend of mine gave an account of some open air ministry he did a few days ago, and he was preaching, I forget where, somewhere up in the north of England. And a couple approached him, talking to him, and said, we're Christians. Yes, we're workers in the church, in this church they named, you know. And he asked them some basic questions about the gospel, about Christ, about the man's need of a saviour, and about sin. They didn't even know the answers. But the first thing they said when they came up to him was that he shouldn't be preaching at all. Oh, that doesn't work anymore. What you need to do is you need to be handing out cookies. That's actually what they said. You should be handing things out and just befriending people. Don't want to preach to people. It's just foolish. Yeah. just as foolish as preaching to a valley of dry bones, because these people are mistaken. They do not know the scriptures, nor the power of God. God works through the preaching of His word. God commands the preaching of His word. God lays the preaching of His word on people's hearts, so that on men's hearts, so that they must do it. The power is not in the preaching. It's not the foolishness of preaching. Unfortunately, that's a mistranslation in the King James. So many people you hear talking about, and I've probably done it because it's ingrained in my head, the foolishness of preaching. The Bible says, the Word of God says in the original, through the foolishness of the message preached. It's the message, not the method. And the message, and the method is the message is a foolish message. And people say, well, why do it? Why do it? It's the same now as it ever was. Here is hope. Here is authority. Here is the only appeal in an age of complete ignorance and apathy. And who says who? Says who? Who are you to tell me how to live? Who are you to tell me what I should do? Hear the word of the Lord. There it is. Hope. Hear the word. It's all about what God will do through the preaching of His word by the Holy Spirit. Refer back to 36, chapter, the chapter before. I read it this morning. I will sprinkle clean water on you, verse 25, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and keep my judgments, etc., etc. I will, I will, I will, I will. Not Ezekiel will. Ezekiel's not gone out there trying to connect one bone to another. He's merely to preach the word of the Lord in this seemingly hopeless situation. Here is hope. Hear the word of the Lord. We must have confidence in God's word. We must not be ashamed of God's word. We must not be ashamed of the public proclamation of God's word. We don't really have any other business. But what is the second thing? Verse 5. This is the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. You shall live. There is our second head, our second heading. Hear the word of the Lord. You shall live. Here is our hope. What is impossible with men is entirely possible with God. He made Adam from what? From the dust. He breathed life into that form that He had created. And Adam became a living being. He breathes in new life. You shall live. I will cause breath to enter you. You shall live. He is the source of all life. The first cause. The great creator. The giver of all things. The giver of life. The giver of breath. Well, I love that hymn so much. I'll praise my maker while I've breath. And you know, sometimes it is a sobering thought. And I can remember, I think, the first time I thought this thought as a child. You know, you have thoughts as a child and you think they're incredibly original and they really strike you. But of course, men and women have been thinking these things for hundreds of years, thousands of years. When it first occurred to me, every breath I have, God is giving to me. Every time my heart beats, it is by God's will. Every atom of my being held together and of all creation is held together by the power of His will and by His word, by His sustaining power. All of it is His work. My breath is His. My days are in His hands. God says, you shall live. You shall live. I'm going to put breath into you. And you shall live. This is beyond mere mechanics. It really is. There is no hope. We're speaking this evening about hope in the valley of dry bones. I tell you this. There is no hope in cryogenics. What pseudoscience. What nonsense. Did anybody read that story in the last year? One of the most tragic things. A year of tragic things. Don't take that comment one way or the other. A year of many tragic events, some good events too. A year of tragic deaths and other deaths. But there was scarcely a death so tragic as of that 14-year-old girl who had somehow been convinced that she would have hope. £40,000 is spent to preserve her body cryogenically. One day she thinks she's going to be brought back to life. One day she thinks she's going to have the life that she thinks was taken from her. Not so. It is God alone who gives life. And it is God alone who takes it away. When you are dead, you are dead. And it is only the Lord who brings dead men to life. It's all nonsense anyway when you look into the science of it. You start thinking, how does it work? Take all the blood out and put in some chemicals and all that. It's nonsense. All there is a well-preserved piece of meat in a freezer. No hope. It is the Lord who gives life. And I tell you, when He gives life, He gives life. He does it. We know what happens in the vision, in the valley of dry bones. There's no hope in any but Him. We have hope. We have a great message to proclaim that's not our own. Hear the word of the Lord. We have hope because it is God alone who brings new life. And of course, we are speaking spiritually. Of course, there was to Israel a great fulfillment. I believe yet to Israel there is more fulfillment here. And I believe to the whole people of God there is fulfillment. Of course there is in all of these things. Of course they were restored to the land. Of course the temple was rebuilt. Of course the exile came to an end. Those things, very immediately in historical terms, came to be. But there's so much more meaning than just that. You shall live. He speaks, and listening to His voice, new life the dead receive. Mournful broken hearts rejoice, the humble poor believe. He brings life where there is death. New life, vital life. He breathes in to what seems to be a hopeless situation. Where were we before He called us dead in trespasses and sins? Far from Him, unable to please Him, unable to reach Him, unable to do anything. Lord, I was dead. I could not stir my lifeless soul to come to Thee. But now, since Thou hast quickened me, I rise from sin's dark sepulchre. He is the one who brings life. What hope there is in the valley of dry bones. Hear the word, and you shall live. And then our third thing is here in verse 6. I will put sinews on you, and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. You shall know. You shall know. And it's repeated in the passage all the way through at the end in verses 13 and 14. And right at the end, you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. But back here in verse 6, you shall know that I am the Lord, Jehovah, the one true and living God, Yahweh, I am. You shall know. What does he say? I will put my spirit. Where have I gone? Gone to the wrong verse. I shall go back to 14. I will put my spirit in you. And you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. All these things. You see, there is national renewal. This chapter does concern the resuscitation of a nation. It certainly does. But you know it concerns so much more than that. It's about hearts and minds and lives. It's not about a mere covenant people restored to some position of favor. It is about individual lives changed. And hearts changed, and the receipt of the Holy Spirit, moving from darkness to life, and the forgiveness of sin, and renewal, all filthiness put away, new heart, new spirit, heart of stone taken out, heart of flesh put in. It's not that he thaws your heart out, he gives you a new heart. This is what God does. You shall know, he says, you shall know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit within you. It's a renewal of all things. This is the work of God. This is why there is hope, even in the valley of dry bones, even in the darkest place. This is why, friends of mine, one couple and those with them were able to go out to Walthamstow a few months ago in London and to seek to replant a church. This is why the Lord has already saved from off the streets a man who was witnessed to, because this is what he does. The darkest place. Empty building. The Christians gave up. They went and joined other churches. It's London's oldest Baptist church. Now they're back meeting in the building. Just a few of them. But there is already new life amongst them. One who was dead is now alive. One who was blind now sees. And he was baptized just before Christmas. And we give God the glory. This is the work of God. A fully comprehensive change and renewal. Nothing but this is the work of God. Nothing compares with the work of God. These are merely piles of bones. There's nothing there. There's no flesh on them. There's no life in them. There's no hope for them. You can't even tell what's what. It's just a pile of bones. God comes and he moves. And he works. It couldn't be any more desperate. And the transformation couldn't be any more complete. Comprehensive. You shall know, he says, again and again. Who can withstand the power and the work of God? You may have somebody, you despair that they will ever turn to Christ. Nobody can withstand him. You may despair that they will ever repent and believe the gospel. You should never despair of the power of God. He says, I will place you in the land. That's what he says to the nation. God indeed would do these things. He did do these things. And I believe he's done it again. And he says also in the prophecy of Ezekiel, that he will do yet more through the coming king. There will be a king. Son of David. Greater than all. Who will be the Savior. All these things. Here is our hope. That we know. If you're a Christian believer. And at the start of another year, you despair. And you look around and you think, what can be done? Hear the word of the Lord. Proclaim the word of the Lord. Know that He makes dead men live. And know yourself what He has done for you. If you're a Christian, you know what God has done for you. And if you say you're a Christian and you say, well, I don't really know. I don't really know what God has done for me. I don't really understand. Well, if you don't know what God has done for you, maybe He hasn't actually done anything for you. Maybe you're not actually saved. Because if you are saved, you know. You know that He is the Lord. You know His power in your life. You know His help. You know the work of the Holy Spirit within you. You know these things. You know Christ, the King. To know the King. The King who comes. How Israel was proud of the fact they had a king on a throne in Jerusalem. How few of the people knew the King. Now all of God's people know Him. They know the King. They approach Him. Here is our hope that we know what God has done for us. This is personal. It's personal. The revival and the new life and the change that we long to see is miraculous, but it's not impossible. You shall know that I am the Lord. I wonder if you are tempted to look over 2017 and say what the children of Israel are quoted as saying in verse 11. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Oh, misery. Oh, woe. Oh, it's so difficult. Nobody wants to hear the gospel. Nobody wants to come. It's all different now in our country. It's a different society. Everyone's so ignorant. Our bones are dry. Our hope is lost. We're cut off. We keep praying and God doesn't answer our prayers, so we think. Do we really pray? Do we really pray as we should? Do we pray together as we ought to? Who will be here this Thursday for our New Year's prayer meeting? How can you complain if you will not come and pray? Yes, eh? Our hope is lost. We're cut off. It's hopeless. What a temptation that is. Church after church falling for this kind of thinking and giving up. And just trying to maintain. So long as we've got somebody preaching the word every week, we'll just keep the building open. Many man or woman will do. So long as there's somebody to preach the word, doesn't matter. Or perhaps it goes further than that. We can't do anything. We're cut off. We're going to close. We're going to go and do something else. We're going to go and find a bigger church and hide there and lick our wounds and all of that. What does God say to His servants? Prophesy to the bones. Doesn't matter if you stand up on a Sunday and you're speaking to two people, three people, four people. Doesn't even matter, as a friend of mine has proven, if you stand up and you preach to no people. Because the gospel is worth preaching whether anyone wants to hear it or not. And you all know the story now, I'm sure. That's what happened in North Watford. When our friend Barry opened the building, nobody came. And he stood up and announced the hymn and he sung it. He prayed, he read the scriptures, and he preached. And there was nobody there. But as he left the building, locked up, there was a woman outside who said, what were you doing? I was preaching the gospel. But But there was nobody there. And he said, well, the gospel is worth preaching whether nobody is willing to hear it, whether anyone is willing to hear it or not. And she said, well, in that case, well, I'll come next week. And now that church in North Watford, well, there are dozens of them. Dozens and dozens of believers gathered together. A church with supporting its own pastor and supporting other churches and reaching out with the gospel. A wonderful thing. We must be encouraged and we must not be discouraged. There is hope in the valley of dry bones. We must have faith, but we must know that there is hope. Prophesy to the bones. As much as our New Year's text is, oh Lord God, you know, and he does, and he has the answers, and he has the power, it must be our mission to prophesy to the bones. And remind yourself of that. When you're called to some situation or some circumstance and you think, this is so hard, this is so difficult, nobody's coming, nobody's interested, nobody wants to hear, God says, you prophesy to the bones. Leave the results to me. Oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you. That was a bad slip of the tongue. And put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Oh, but the bones are so dry. Yeah. Just do what God commands you to do. Our hope is in him. What does he say here again and again and again? I will, I will, I will, I will. And Christ has come, and Christ has died, and Christ has atoned, and he is risen, and he is ascended, and he reigns, and he is coming again. These things are sure and certain. We go into a new year. We must have faith in the valley of dry bones. Brothers and sisters, there's hope in the valley as well. May God bless his word to our hearts.